Michigan students have fallen from the nation's top tier to the bottom in just one generation. How'd this happen? One reason, we have much less money, but we're creating more schools. That has Michigan Radio sports commentator John Ubakin wondering about the future of our schools and the activities that go with them.
Now that the teachers and students are back in school, I can't resist turning my attention to school sports, one of my favorite subjects. I'm a proud 1982 graduate of the Ann Arbor Public Schools. I can still remember the names of every teacher I ever had. Almost all were very good, and I had more truly exceptional teachers than anybody's got a right to expect. I'm still in touch with many of them. That was not just my experience either. Perhaps that explains why, when I graduated, despite the struggling economy, public school students from the state of Michigan ranked among the nation's best. Our experience was not just defined by classes either. More than half of my classmates played school sports. For me, that included baseball, cross country, soccer, and a lot of hockey. I felt so strongly about my experiences and the coaches who made them possible that I returned to coach junior high school baseball and high school hockey. For the same peanuts, my mentors were paid. I loved it, just like they did. But since my day, things have changed rather dramatically, and I can't say for the better. In the past decade, state legislators have reduced their investment in traditional public schools by 25%, while school enrollment has dropped by 200,000 students. But at the same time, they've added more than 300 charter schools. Some are great, more are terrible, but none are monitored very well, and also allowed for-profit cyber schools to take millions of our tax dollars, and those don't seem to work at all. That's right. We're funding more schools than ever before with much less money and fewer students. You don't have to be an AP calculus student to know that that does not add up. So what gets the squeeze? The same public schools most of us attended. This imbalance gets us smaller staffs, bigger class sizes, and less money for choir, band, theater, and sports, one of the great strengths of America's public school system. We have these after-school activities because of the uniquely American belief that they can teach you things the classroom cannot, things like teamwork, competition, and compromise. But thanks to endless budget cuts, my old high school, like so many others, has had to cut bus service to most games. Teams have to pay for their own uniforms, basic equipment, ice time, greens fees, and bowling lanes, and they still have to charge students $250 a year to play sports. This actually represents a pretty heroic effort to keep those opportunities open for all the students who want to play, but it's not been easy for anybody. In my day, we didn't have charter schools, schools of choice, or cyber schools, and not many went to private schools. No, back then we just got on a bus, and when the bus stopped, you got off, and that was your school. Once we entered that school, we had to work with all kinds of people, people we might not have met anywhere else. And that's how you learn to play well with others, reflecting on our national motto, E Pluribus Unum, from many, one. Arthur Schlesinger Jr. said, "There is too much pluribus and not enough unum. Put me down for more unum." And here's the final kicker. Not only is our current patchwork approach to education creating more schools for fewer students, it isn't working. In the past 3 decades, we have dropped like a stone from the nation's top tier to the bottom tier. We are now battling Alabama. I'm sure people will respond to this with their political positions, because these days, everything gets politicized. But I am not making a political statement here. When it comes to education, my politics are very simple. I am for whatever works. And this isn't working. So why are we still doing it?